The first IBF title defence of Anthony Joshua has been announced at the O2 Arena. Now, his opponent, I'm not going to try and pronounce it because, you know what, we've seen one thing which says, oh, this is the official way of doing it. I've heard his name pronounced about 16 different ways anyway, but you know the score because you've met the man.
Well, I called him Dominic Brazil, and I met him at the 2012 Games when he was representing America. I worked at the XL Centre and worked the boxing there for the Olympic Games, and that's how I approached him, and that's how the media approached him there, and he didn't seem to be too bothered about it. I know it was 4 years ago, people change in 4 years, but that's how we approached him, and that's how I would say it.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm sticking with that then, in that case. So obviously that is Anthony Joshua's opponent for his first title defence, undefeated, but obviously, you know, he didn't win the Olympic medal. So what are we saying about this fight? Is this going to be another one of those for Anthony Joshua where we can just steamroll over this geezer? Because I thought, genuinely, that his last fight was actually going to stretch a little bit. I thought Charles Martin might have dragged him into that sort of fourth round, maybe, just because he was going to pace him out, but he didn't. It all ended very, very quickly.
I think this is going to be exactly the same. I mean, I've watched Brazil on a couple of undercards of big fights before, and for me, he comes rushing in a little bit, and I've seen him get caught, heavily caught. So I think, again, Josh, he's had 17 fights with 15 knockouts on record. Everyone's going to go, wow, that's such a great record. But who is he, again, it's the old cliche, but who has he come up against? I mean, if you see his last fight, he's an IBF eliminator. It was against the weirdest, like, he must have been about 5 foot, this opponent. I mean, not to be nasty to any boxers, because everyone gets in there and risks their life, I understand. But he got in against a nobody for an eliminator. So I think Joshua took this. It's going to be a good fight because, again, it's America versus UK. He's 30 years old. He's an inch taller than Joshua. And obviously, he's a former 2012 Olympian, but obviously didn't medal. And he's currently 13th in the IBF rankings. So it's a big opportunity for Brazil, but for me, there's no trouble that Joshua's going to face in the ring that night. There's the only chance they've got is a puncher's chance, because obviously he's a heavyweight, and obviously there's, if he connects and Joshua's not looking, it's the classic cliche, he's going to go down. But I just think Joshua's got this signed, sealed and delivered, and I think it's good for him to be active, because he only had, obviously, as you said, a quick couple of rounds against Charles Martin. He even went back to the changing rooms, apparently, and was videoed doing some pad work. So he's obviously a fit guy, and he aims to gain experience before maybe another huge fight at the end of the year. But I think, again, this is another cliche, again, another stepping stone for Joshua. He's got it in the bag for me.
Wow. So it's just going to be a nice, easy stepping stone. And obviously that is going to lead on then to the big fights that everybody's beginning to talk about now, aren't they? Obviously the names that are being thrown around.
Well, as soon as the Joshua Brazil fight was announced, Fury, of course, come up on the as he loves to pop up, and he reiterated again, like loads of times on his Twitter, that he never ever lost a belt inside the ring, which, fair play to him, he didn't. He lost it on paper, so he's still a bit hard done by, I think, that he lost the belt on paper. And then he said that Joshua's next opponent is from Bum City,
yeah,
that's what it's called him, clearly stating that Joshua's fighting at nobody's, and he called it in the next tweet an absolute joke. So obviously, again, he's putting his name clearly up there. He's got most of the belts, as we know. But I think it's all bubbling under the surface. And obviously their dates don't clash anymore. It's obviously he's on the June 25th and Fury's on July the 9th. So I think that's purposefully not going to do two British heavyweights in an evening. But I do think that it's just all leading to like November, September, October, November, kind of like near Christmas, a huge clash between Fury and Joshua.
And we're looking Wembley Arena or something like that, aren't we, for that?
I think it could sell out Wembley Stadium like Groves Froch did. I mean, two massive, massively loved heavyweights that have got huge followings. I mean, I think Wembley Stadium, with a packed undercard, I think Wembley Stadium could be the dream.
Wow, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? Absolutely, yeah, it'd incredible.
And someone else who's popped up in the last, say, 45 minutes is old Liverpudlian David Price.
Wow.
Yeah, because you know Tony Thompson, who obviously he lost twice, he failed a drug test, didn't he? So David Price is appealing with a boxing board to be reinstated as an IBF ranked fighter, which means, like Brazil, obviously he's only 13th, he hopes to go in around like maybe that and then fight for an eliminator and then be able to look for a future clash with Joshua. That's obviously what everyone's using Joshua's name at the moment, because he's obviously at the top, like as is Fury. But if you go back into the IBF rankings price because of this Tony Thompson scenario, there's every possibility that he could fight him next.
Wow.
Which would obviously be very exciting.
That'd be humongous. Again, you know, another former English, British and Commonwealth heavyweight champion there, a man who, you know, wants to get a world title like that. That'd be an incredible fight.
That'd be an incredible scenario, wouldn't it? For Price to get put back into the IBF and go straight into a fight like an eliminator to go with Joshua. I mean, all of his dreams must be coming true at once, but I mean, good luck to him. If Tony Thompson failed a drug test, he's got every right to go back into the rankings.
Fair play. Yeah, fair play. And maybe we'll see that one down the line. Looking at the Anthony Joshua card in total, obviously George Groves is going to be taking on Martin Murray as well there, isn't he? Which is going to be an interesting fight.
I think both of these two deserve a world title from what I've seen of them in the past. I mean, it's Murray's first attempt at a world title if he wins this at 168, despite fighting for it three times at middleweight. So, and obviously Groves will be heading for a fourth world title shot if he wins this. So both of them, I think, it's not like, it sounds dramatic to say last chance soon, but it means a lot to the both of them. And I just think there'll be a lot that's not left in the ring that night. I think it'll all be left in there. And I think that is going to be one of the main talking points. Obviously, Joshua is always going to be the main talking point. But I think every British boxing fan's waiting to see that fight. Everyone I've spoken to, that's one of the first things they've mentioned. So I'm going for Groves on points.
Okay.
Murray's very strong, and I think he can handle Groves' power. But Groves' ability to see out a fight, for me, like to see the 12. I mean, we've seen it when he was at Wembley Arena. I mean, we've seen he can take a 12-rounder. I think Groves is just going to edge it for me, especially with his new trainer and stuff. I think he's just got the edge. But, like, please, obviously, tune in. The WBA crown that they're fighting the Eliminator for is currently held by Felix Sturm. So that'll be whoever wins that will be a great fight between them and Felix Sturm. And I don't think they're going to get him out of Germany. So it's going to look like the UK fans are going to have to travel again.
Wow. Obviously, that causes a few problems, doesn't it? Traveling's never easy.
It's always going to cause problems. You never want to go outside. But, I mean, if you want it bad enough, you'll go anywhere. Look at James DeGale.
Yeah.
When he's fighting again this weekend and he's in wherever he is, he's in America. And he goes and adapts himself there and he wins out there. So, I mean, a boxing ring's a boxing ring wherever you are in the world. I understand that. But home advantage, I mean, ask Joshua, is probably the best feeling in the world. To walk out and have a whole stadium scream your name and you're in your hometown, that is anything better, which is why the likes of Sturm and Arthur Abraham don't leave their hometowns, and like Klitschko never, because that is where they're comfortable and that's where they're happy. So obviously he's got the belt and he can demand where he wants to be. But let's hope that one of the boys can go out there and do it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Hopefully that will all kick off. And obviously, we've got to talk about another man. I've talked about this guy with Sam Bridges, who, of course, does our Fight Night podcast as well. Gennady Golovkin, who he's a bit of a phenomenon, really, isn't he? I mean, it seems that after his victory this weekend, he's still smashing his way through the division, but nobody wants to go near him, do they? They're ducking him.
I think he's like the avoided avoided man. No one even wants to mention his name in a tweet, because they're that scared. I mean, he is a wrecking machine. I mean, he steamed through Dominic Wade in two rounds. I mean, in the early hours of Sunday morning, I didn't even get up for it because I knew it was going to happen.
Just been watching that.
I watched it when I woke up. Yeah, I knew it was going to. I mean, and if you look at his box, like on box record, his records, he's obviously 35-0, which is an unbelievable record. But he's got 32 knockouts. That is just phenomenal. And I mean, they're not just knockouts where it's debatable knockouts. They're, I mean, clean knockouts.
They're brutal,
the guy,
aren't they?
He's very scary, but I see a lot of debate on the internet because he hasn't come up against the likes of like Canelo Alvarez or any of the huge names. I mean, he's got through who's been put in front of him. I mean, he demolished Matthew Macklin with that body shot and stuff like that. But I just think if he fights someone like Alvarez or someone like Billy Joe, who's obviously been calling him out on Twitter, I think that he'll be even more of a phenomenon for fighting someone that people think, oh, hold on, they're a bigger name.
Well, it's an interesting
Wade,
Sorry, bro, to jump in there. It's a bit of an interesting comment from Bob Arum, actually. He's been talking about Golovkin and Alvarez, and he says that he believes Gennady Golovkin would, this is a quote, massacre Saul Alvarez should they meet in the future. He says, all the clamour for Canelo Golovkin, you think that's even a fight? So put it off as long as possible. Hope Golovkin gets beaten, it goes away, or that Golovkin gets sold. Fans want everything right away. It will be a massacre.
What? Oh, my God. Well, I think that is one fight that most boxing fans would love to see. I mean, imagine them two both in the ring. They've both got heavy hands. They're both relentless. They're both precise. there, but they just don't stop with the pressure. Can you imagine what? I don't think that's going to go 12 rounds.
Not at all.
I think it's going to be anything he does. I think Golovkin's going to get hype and attention. If it is against the likes of Canelo Alvarez, or even bigger, I mean, Billy Joe Saunders has been on Twitter calling him out and saying he has what it takes to beat him. He would never run away like the idiots that he gets in the ring with. So obviously, he's goading him. He's trying to get him in. He's trying to get another big fight. Obviously, he had to pull out of the Copperbox show on Saturday, Billy Joe, with an injury, where he's supposed to fight Max Berzak and defend his title. But he was so... I mean, as soon as Golovkin won, he was the first one on Twitter saying, come to the UK and I'll show you how it's done. And so obviously, he's trying to get a big fight against him, and that's got a lot of tongues wagging as to what the result of that one could be.
And you talk of that Copperbox show on Saturday. What's going on there? What's the big draw for Saturday?
Well, Huey Fury's headlining, isn't he? So he always gets quite a big crowd. But for me, I've commend Box Nation and Frank Warren for putting a lot of young talent on the bill. There's a lot of Boyd Jones Jr., Sanjeev Singh Sahota is one I've got to mention. He's a great prospect. He's making his debut Indian sensation on the Copperbox show. And then you've got the likes of like Barney Jones, DP Carr. You've got a lot of like young British talent that is an amazing opportunity for them to fight on such a huge show that's headlined by someone like Huey Fury. There's going to be obviously all the Fury family in the crowd. So speaking to, I mean, Boyd Jones Jr., I think he's 19. I mean, these young boys have got such a big opportunity to put them, I mean, they're on TV and it's a massive arena. I mean, it's a massive step up for these boys. And I just, anyone that's not doing anything on Saturday, please tune in and see some of this young talent we've got.
Oh, yeah, and if you tell you what, if you fancy a trip and you can get yourself a ticket, I've been in the Copperbox myself. It's a really good arena and it's going to look cracking with some boxing there as well. It really kind of lends itself to it. It's a good one for this kind of stuff. It's going to be really nice there, actually.
I've been there for 5 or 6 times, and where I've sat in a different place every single time. And wherever you sit in that arena, you've got a great view.
Yeah.
It kind of, as you said, lends itself to a sport. And that is it, because wherever you look, you've got a great view of the ring, even if it's in the top, top seat. So, yeah, anyone get yourself down there. If not, tune into Box Nation and check out some of the young talent that I'm sure we'll be chatting about next week.
Well, as you mentioned there, Huey Fury going to be on that card. Tyson Fury is also going to be on Box Nation, isn't he? So I think a lot of people will want to be getting their subscriptions in early and making sure that they can see what's on there. Be well and truly
and
worth it.
We've got the Canelo Calm. We've got the Canelo Calm.
Oh, yes.
So I don't think anyone's going to... And that's come around so quickly. I mean, it's the end of April.
Yeah, I can't
Nearly
believe
my
it.
Birthday.
I can't believe it's coming around that fast.
Yeah,
in fact,
that's what I mean. It feels like 5 minutes ago we were saying, oh, there's a few months left yet. And it's in like... What, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's not far off, is it?
It's so quick. So, yeah, get your subscriptions in now, because Saturday's going to be a great show. But obviously, the big one against Alvarez and Khan, we'll have a little conversation about that soon. But
oh, yeah, without a doubt.
It's going to be epic.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And just looking at Alvarez has been saying he expects Amir Khan to mimic Floyd Mayweather in this fight. He thinks he's going to be going in with a very similar style. That's what he's been saying.
I think everyone's expecting the boxer versus the brawler.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
Maybe Canelo's going to come in with something different. You never know. Because I don't think Khan hasn't got that power for me. He's got the technical ability and he's got the speed. So you kind of know what Khan's going to bring. If Canelo brings that too and boxes, I think Khan's going to have a pretty big shock.
Yeah.
But if he comes in as usual and bulldozes his way through, I don't think the fight's going to last too long.
I think as well, I was just thinking of the question that was going through my head then, and I'm going to leave it till we talk about this fight more in depth. Actually, I'm going to leave that one there. Brooke, thank you very
we'll
much.
Leave it on a cliffhanger.
Leave it on, yeah, exactly.
leave it on the edge.
We'll make sure that everybody comes back for that, because it's going to be an interesting one to get your thoughts on that. Brooke, thank you
Brilliant.
Very much for joining us again as always.
Have a good evening.
It.